So we flip the calendar, right? We're December now. Like, what just happened? And I can't believe it. Not only are we in December, we in our household already have Christmas presents that we have bought to give. It's way too early. I start shopping about the 20th of December. Like that, I feel uncomfortable being so prepared. You know, it's out of my element. But you know, the nice thing is, as the kids get older, it gets easier. We don't have to worry about them sneaking and looking and hiding things in the trunk. Maybe some of you have had to do that over the years. But remember our kids, when our kids were little, we'd get the presents wrapped and we'd put them under the tree and they wouldn't even care. Like, they would ignore the presents under the tree. When I was a kid, I was like trying to pry the tape off and like see and shake it and all that kind of stuff. But our kids were good. What went wrong? I had something wrong with them. I mean, even then with growing up, one of the things that we did when I was growing up is we'd always open presents on Christmas Eve. I know there's a split in the church over, do you open on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? And because my dad's a retired pastor, he had a service late in the afternoon and then like 11 o'clock at night, so we had this in-between time. And we'd have dinner and we'd open presents. It was like the most wonderful kind of evening growing up was church, a wonderful dinner, presents, and then back to church before going to bed. And you know, some people think it's cheating to open presents on Christmas Eve. But as a kid, I liked it. But now that I'm an adult, we put an end to that. We made the kids wait to Christmas Day. So we're back to being purists. So that, you know, I think that there's something to be said for that. But you know, the race has begun, right? We enter December, schedules are busy. You're looking at your calendar of the things that you got to get done before Christmas. Some of you, you know, I got this event, I got that event, I got this. You're also thinking about shopping lists, you're thinking about food, you're thinking about traveling for some of you. All that stuff is going on. And so I would say, take a breath. Even with all of our events, like I said, you pick and choose. It's time to prepare for Christmas, but not be exhausted by the time you get to Christmas. I mean, when you think about gifts as an adult, I know maybe the younger folks don't feel this way. Gifts are nice, but they're not expected. We're actually to the point now, which is kind of fun. It just kind of evolved this way. We're finally to the point that we give gifts now just to the people we like. I mean, for years there was kind of this obligation, well, we have to get something for so-and-so and so-and-so. We're actually to the point now that we give gifts to the people we love, which is kind of fun, right? As opposed to, don't forget Uncle so-and-so. So we don't have to do that. But so often people get so caught up in obligation, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, that it's time to, I would just encourage you to take a breath and enjoy the season versus running ragged. And when you think about gifts being given, we had a couple of readings today where we heard about gifts being given in different ways, including Paul, who was writing to the church in Philippi, a church that he had started, saying thank you for a gift that he received. But it's important to know what was going on when he received the gift. He was under house arrest. And he knew that his time on earth was short because he was probably going to be put to death soon. And he received a gift from this church that he had started several years before. And even though he received a gift and said thank you for it, he never really seems fazed over the fact that he's in jail, well, under house arrest, and he's probably going to lose his life. I mean, it had to have been a scary time for him. But yet, in the midst of this darkness, someone shows up, a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. It's a great name. And he comes and he brings a gift for Paul. And in the season of Christmas, we're like, well, that's, you know, it's a nice thing. I mean, we don't know when this happened, but that was no easy feat in Paul's time. You see that Philippi was in Greece, and it was about 800 miles away from Rome. If you were all on land, about 600 miles if you walked and then took a boat across. It wasn't like Epaphroditus jumped on a plane and by the afternoon he was there to give a gift. Matter of fact, if you read Philippians all the way through, we hear that Epaphroditus got really sick. He almost died on that journey. But when he arrived, he gave a gift. Most likely it was money to help with living expenses. And so what Paul does is he says, thank you. He expresses gratitude for this gift. And he says it basically this way: I'm glad that you care about me. I'm glad that you're thinking about me. But he also says, but I'm not saying that I'm in need, because I've learned to be content in any and all circumstances. So in other words, he's nice enough to say, I'm very thankful that you care about me, but I also want you to know that no matter what happens, gift or no gift, I'm content. It's a rare thing, especially today, it's a rare thing to accept things the way they are. It's a rare thing. Matter of fact, I mean, people often complain when things don't go their way, you know, and when life isn't, you know, the way that we expect, we tend to complain even over the smallest things. And it doesn't, and Paul's not saying that when things need to be changed, we make changes. That's not what he's talking about. He says, I'm not going to complain about the reality of my situation. I accept whatever comes my way, whether it's good or bad, whether I'm living large or I'm in prison. I have Christ who's with me to give me strength in any and all situations. I mean, that's completely rare. On Thanksgiving Eve, if you were here, I was complaining over the fact that I hadn't had a debit card in 3 weeks. That's inconvenient when you get put on an allowance. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I have all these things going my way, but I don't have a debit card, which means, you know, I'm shackled. I love you. I just want you to know. It's a good shackling, you know. But now I have a debit card, so that's resolved, so that's good. So, but we complain about small stuff. And Paul's like, whatever will be, que sera, sera. And then we get all worked up about the small stuff. But Paul is thankful not for the gift, but for the gesture. He knows that people are thinking about him and caring for him. He says, no matter what, I'll be fine. But then he adds, but it was good of you to share in my troubles. It was about being present over buying presents. I mean, I think that should be on our holiday to-do list, right? In addition to buying presents for whoever you're going to buy presents for, but to be present in people's lives, especially now. As life seems to get faster and faster in the month of December, we're running from one thing to another, we're checking things off our calendar. Instead, let's be present in people's lives, as opposed to moving forward. And I will tell you that if Paul tells us these things, we see how Jesus shows us how to do it. A little bit ago, you heard a story out of Matthew 8 where Jesus heals a man with leprosy. And if you're a Christian or if you've been in church long enough, you've heard some of the miracle stories, and it's a typical miracle story. I mean, it's short, it's to the point. Jesus heals a guy, we know this, we're Christians, that's what Jesus does. The end, it's a run-of-the-mill miracle story. It only has 7 sentences, that's how short it is. But it is the context of the story that makes it all the more amazing. It begins this way. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. Well, you go, well, that's typical. Jesus was always up on the mountain talking to people, and there were always crowds. What's so big deal about that? But hold on. If you dig a little bit more, what you find out is, and honestly, to our shame in the church, we always read Bible stories like they're self-contained, like there isn't any story around it, like there's no context. We do that week in, week out. But every story has a what's going on before and what's going on after, and it matters. Right before this was Jesus had just preached the greatest sermon ever preached. He had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, which in that sermon, Jesus expressed the wisdom of the ages. He expressed the heart of God. And in that, people were amazed. It actually says it in the text. It says people were blown away because he was crystal clear. He was definitive. He didn't leave room for debate the way the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, would often do. Well, you could be this side or that side. Jesus was direct and clear, and we heard the love of God, and people were like, whoa. So he finished the sermon, and they're headed down the mountain, and people were raving. They were excited. They were joyful. I'm sure it was chaotic. People probably believed this is the beginning of a movement. Something big is going to happen with this rabbi named Jesus. In the midst of that, Jesus stops everything. Everything. When he encounters a nobody, a castaway, someone who doesn't count, someone who shouldn't even be in proximity to people because of his skin condition. And Jesus doesn't bypass him. Like, we can't stop the parade for this. We got to keep going. He stops and he enters this man's lonely and sick life. So what does that mean? He was fully present in the midst of all this other stuff going on around him. He stops all of the busyness to be fully present in that moment to that man. Now, the man knew it was his chance to be healed. He had a hope that wasn't inside of him. It was firmly placed in Jesus, and it was firmly connected to being able to be face to face with Jesus. And now he has this moment, and he doesn't even ask. Think about that. He doesn't even ask. He states a fact. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, period. This man has hope. He has expectations that could be realized with a face-to-face connection, not from a distance. And as you know, the rest of the story, Jesus was willing and he was healed because he was fully present in that moment. So what does that tell us for us in our lives? That hope is connected to being present in the lives of others. That's what it tells us. Paul found a renewed hope when Epaphroditus came, even though he was content with what he had. The man with leprosy found his hope realized when he was face to face with Jesus. Hope is found when we are connected to one another in a very real way. Candle one, Advent 1, whatever you want to call it, is the candle of hope. There is hope when we are present more over than buying presents. And I see this most clearly, honestly. I see this most clearly at the time that someone loses a loved one. When others take time to be present in someone's life, whether it's going to a visitation, attending a funeral, or even going to the luncheon afterwards, that when people gather around someone who's lost someone, there is hope because they're not alone. That there are people to walk with you through the worst parts of your life. Positive human connection produces hope. But it's also true for those who lead normal lives. There's nothing, you know, kind of wild going on in their lives. They're not lost, they're not helpless, they're not mourning, but just kind of regular day-to-day stuff. People find hope in connecting to one another. I mean, that may be the primary reason that you are here this morning, is the people who are in this room. Because connection produces hope. And that's okay if that's the reason you're here, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sneak some Jesus in on you anyways, because that's what I do. But if we have guests here, here's what I'd say. I want you to know, too, that if you are willing to come back, we will invest in you, and that we will connect with you so that as we get to know you, we will be present in your life as well. So we're at the first Sunday of Advent. I think about the hope that I have. Believe it or not, it was 3 years ago yesterday that a group of us, whoever wanted to come, met in Torvind Hall. And I met some of you for the first time. You were interviewing me. There was hope in the air, well, at least up until you met me. Many hopes were floating around. There was a hope that maybe there'd be the end of a search for the next lead pastor. Call committee had a hope that they didn't have to meet anymore. We can be done. And there was hope on my end, too. I had hopes that maybe there was a group of people who might want me to lead them. There was also this hope that after 2 years of living in different places, Rachel and I would live under the same roof again, full time. Just so you know the story, she got a job first. We weren't having marriage problems, okay? Just when you'd be like, what was going on? What's the scandal there? No, she got her dream job. She went. I came later. So that's, you know, let's be clear about that. But there was a hope that we would be together under the same roof, too. Lots of hopes. 3 years ago yesterday in Torvind Hall, there was a time of talking and there was a time of questions and answers, you know, hard-hitting questions so you'd get to know me, like Coke or Pepsi, Apple or PC? These were some of the questions. Would I ever be a Giants or a Sharks fan? That was a question. And honestly, I was going to be transparent, even if it would cost me votes. I held nothing back. I left that day hopeful. And the only reason I could be hopeful was that we were present, fully present with each other, face to face, even if it was only for a couple of hours. And then on that first Sunday of Advent 3 years ago, after this service, some of you stayed after to have a congregational meeting and you voted to call me as your pastor. So the first Sunday of Advent has lots of hope for me as I think about the past. And then I was telling Rachel on the way to church this morning, it was obviously later there, I got a call from Brian Hadding. I was eating at Sweet Tomatoes, having a salad. And he said, you can come out here if you want to, you know. And so hope was realized because we spent time together. So do more than buy presents this season. Be present in the lives of others, those who matter most to you, and certainly those who matter least, because we cannot forget them as well. Amen.